Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Hi there, this is Sandra, and that is Psalm 34:18. If you are a foster or adoptive parent and you're feeling brokenhearted, discouraged, crushed, this episode of Orphans No More is for you. But first, a little reminder about our 2020 Vision Campaign. Since we launched Care Portal in both Schenectady and Albany counties, so far nearly 600 local children in crisis have been served by churches participating in our Care Portal network. We have a goal to launch Care Portal in all 11 Capital Region counties, so two down, nine to go. We have a plan to implement at least one of those new counties in 2020, praying about which one that might be. There's great need in all 11. And you can help us continue and further this ministry work. There's two ways that you can help. First, we need more churches in each county to partner with us. Your church can enroll in Care Portal simply by visiting careportal.org. Second, we need the funding to provide and manage the network. So if you would consider helping more local children and families in crisis with a $20 monthly gift, you can do that right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. So thank you for considering. All right, now to the good stuff. I am thrilled to welcome our guests today. Mike and Kristen Berry are foster and adoptive parents. They have 8 children through adoption. They have fostered 23 kids over 9 years, and now they're grandparents. They're authors and founders of Confessions of an Adoptive Parent. Welcome to the show, Mike and Kristen.
Hello.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
It's great to be here with you.
Yeah, Mike, I had you on a few years back, and we talked a lot about what your ministry is doing, but you guys have written so many books and done so much more great stuff. I wanted to have you back on, but you know, let's get our priorities straight here. Grandbabies, how many do you have?
We have 4.
Wow. I have 5.
It's so much fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually, I told my husband, this is better than having kids. Maybe next time around, we'll just start with grandchildren.
Totally. I think that is a wonderful idea.
It is. My full confession here is that they're amazing. But when we first became grandparents, I think I was 38. And that was a little bit rough to try to adjust to that at 38 years old. But now I'm in my 40s. I'm good. I'm used to it now. We're good. They're awesome.
It's good. What do they call yous?
Well,
I'll let Kristen answer that one.
I think we're going with Mimi and Grandpa. That's what our 6-year-old or a 5-year-old granddaughter calls us. But my oldest daughter is now trying to teach her kids to call us Lolly and Pop so that they can say they're going to Lollipop's house because she thinks that's hilarious.
This is the first I've heard of this.
Drilling into them that we're going to Lollipop's house. So we'll see if it changes. Who knows?
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
Oh, that is great. Well, I am a Mimi also to our 5. Our 5 range in age from 6 years to 1 week old. We have a little grandbaby daughter.
Oh, congratulations.
Last week. Thank you. So I'm Mimi and my husband gets to be Papu, which started out as Papa, but then our oldest granddaughter, when she was, you know, just learning to talk, she just really played it well, you know, like Papu and that stuck. So we get in Papu. So we're having a great time with that. So I love those grandbabies. But let's start with your kids. Let's start with your story. Share with us your family story.
Well, I'll jump right in on that one. As you said, we've adopted all 8 of our children. We began this journey, and for us, we began in 2002, through private adoption. And, from there we became foster parents. About 2 years after that, became foster parents, in order to help out a mutual friend, who needed care for her 2 children. And it really just kind of grew from there. Kristen can tell it in way more detail. In fact, this really all begins with her because the storyline of foster care and adoption was in her family growing up, not mine. I actually grew up in a traditional family, the old fashioned way, as we like to say. So I could let Kristen fill that part in.
Well, thanks, Mike. I don't know what else to add to that. We were, I grew up in an adoptive family. My youngest brother was adopted. My aunt placed her baby for adoption when she was a young adult. So my cousin was adopted. My grandma was adopted. My grandpa grew up in the foster care system. My uncle was actually raised by his siblings after both parents died in a car accident. So that's just kind of a theme in our family. I didn't think any different of it. I just thought that that would be part of our adult life, that if there are children that need some place to go, that it makes perfect sense to just to be that family. So that's kind of our history with that. We came to adopt our first child almost 18 years ago. And Mike and I were just kind of finally both on board at the same time, and we adopted her. And, you know, foster care just takes on a life of its own, I think. Once we became foster parents, you know, we were just busy all the time. Our oldest daughter started to stay with us when she was about 15 years old, because her mom was really sick and her dad had passed away, and she was one of our students from our youth group. So she actually consented to her own adoption at the age of 25. So we have two private adoptions. And then we had six who were adopted from the foster care system.
Wow. So with your years in the foster care system and really parenting kids with trauma histories, I'm sure you learned from your time in the trenches that support on this journey is vital for foster and adoptive families. So you founded Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, and you guys really offer a treasure trove of resources to support and encourage foster and adoptive parents. So tell us a little bit about what those resources are.
Sure. Well, as you said, our blog, Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, was actually created because we recognized how much we need support and how much we need an outlet to share and to also be encouraged. So we created it just to be a voice. It was more or less a hobby, almost on the level of a hobby blog, and it just kind of grew from there. And today is a global brand that we have readers in 60, 65 different countries or something like that. But out of that blog, we began to sense this great need for resources, for relevant resources that, that speak to a parent's journey, where they are. Nothing against, foster care agencies or adoption agencies. They do what they can with their resources to prepare, but there's something about, being on this journey and experiencing this, firsthand, and hearing from, people who are, as you said, in the trenches. So, from there, we launched our podcast, the Honestly Adoption Podcast, in 2015. We also launched a self-care course back in 2016, which actually we're about to relaunch again, and it's called Self-Care Workshop. It comes out in February of this year, this month. I guess we're in February. We also have a membership site that provides training resources and face-to-face support with fellow foster adoptive parents called Oasis Community. And our flagship course launched last year, which we're going to reopen again for enrollment this coming May, called Trauma Knowledge Masterclass. And then, of course, we also do a 12-month intensive coaching program with parents from all over the world. So yeah, we have a lot of stuff, a lot of resources, because we're really passionate. Our driving goal within our entire company is to help parents become the best parent possible. It's not about trying to fix your kids. It's not about anything other than becoming the best parent possible. That's our driving value. That's what we talk about in all of our team meetings every single week. That's what we're all about. So yeah, that's a snapshot of what we have. It's kind of a lot, but it all goes to enrich and equip parents.
Yeah. And as an adoptive parent of, we have 8 children, 5 of them through adoption, I can appreciate those resources and everything that you have to support foster and adoptive families along the journey. I want to talk about your books, because you both have authored books, some even together. I've read Kristen's book, Born Broken, An Adoptive Journey. It is a must read for prospective foster and adoptive parents, those already in the trenches, as we say, but especially if you're parenting a child or children with fetal alcohol syndrome, that type of thing. We walked that journey too, and the book was just so good. So I would highly recommend that book. But Kristen, you have a brand new book coming out. It's titled Keep the Doors Open, Lessons Learned from a Year of Foster Parenting. Tell us about that book.
That was really a joy to write. We came up with the concept. It was kind of a concept I had in the back of my mind for a long time. Just to condense down, you know, 18 years of parenting into this 1 year. So what if we wrote about all these different stories, all these different interactions with people, and wrote it as if it happened within 1 year. And so that really became the book, Keep the Doors Open. Like I said, I grew up in a foster and adoptive family. And so I love that idea of throwing the doors open and welcoming someone inside. And in my mind, that was sort of the visual picture of what it means to be a foster and adoptive family. But the biggest thing that we learned as a family in the last 18 years is that we are not the savior of anybody. We are not, we're not the hero of anything. What we learned in the last 18 years was that keeping our door open really meant that so many different people would come inside. And sometimes it meant humbling ourselves and accepting help from others, or humbling ourselves and realizing that other people have these amazing and complex stories, and that we're not at the center. We are a part of this much bigger picture. And so in writing that book, I was really so glad to be able to tell some of the stories of birth parents who, you know, just turned out to be some of our closest friends now, caseworkers and our good friends who reached out to us and were able to offer support. So it was just really my desire to write a book that that talked about the complexity of all of foster care and adoption, and how it's not just about the foster and adoptive parent being at the center, but really about us being supportive of all the people around us and then accepting that support as well.
Well, it sounds like an invaluable resource that I'm sure our listeners would love to get their hands on. We'll talk about how they can and where everybody can find your resources. But you have another new book out that both of you authored together. It's Honestly Adoption, Answers to 101 Questions About Adoption and Foster Care. Now, I'm in the process of edits and rewrites for the book I've been writing. I'm working with a writing coach, but I really can't imagine writing a book with my husband or somebody else even. So how did that work? Was that challenging?
Yeah, we need therapy.
Yeah, it was challenging. We learned a lot. I will say this. I learned a lot about how different our work styles are. And, you know, Kristen is a verbal processor. And I'm a quiet, solo processor. So she processes, by talking things out, whereas I process by going off into a dark corner by myself and thinking. And so I learned a lot personally about that, which actually was good. I think that was a good beta test for us, because interestingly enough, we signed another book contract after that, that we just turned the manuscript in for last week, about a week ago. And that was I would actually say it was a much better experience this second go around for this latest book that is yet to be released and yet to be announced. But it was challenging. It really turned out beautifully. You get to see our two unique voices throughout that book, and also our perspective, which is much the same, but also we bring a different take to certain topics within the book. So
it's funny, you sound like my husband and I, because I'm totally the verbal processor. I always say that's how I got a radio show and a podcast. And my husband is very quiet, and he'll quietly go off and process. So it's funny that we're both like that. But
yeah,
also, you both share the same heart and the same passion. So your unique giftings can meld together and create something beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about, I know, so the book is Honestly Adoption, Answers to 101 Questions About Adoption and Foster Care. Obviously, we don't have time to go over all 101, but maybe pick three of the top ones and unpack them a little bit for us. Who wants to go first?
I'm waiting because I'm like, is Kristen going to jump in there?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'll start off with that because there's a whole section in the book where we talk about behavior understanding and management. And I actually just did a blog post that was very similar to this topic, this question that we answer within the book. And that was about discipline, about understanding why your child behaves the way he or she behaves, and then responding in ways that connect with them. The question in particular was, and I'm totally drawing a blank on how we worded this, but I know the discipline question was, what can I do when my child needs discipline? Mm-hmm. You know, because I think oftentimes when we drill down so heavily on connected parenting and TBRI and EMDR and all this stuff, which is all great, right? But sometimes I think it leaves parents thinking that, well, wait a second, if they're behaving this way because of their trauma history, and I'm supposed to build trust with them and connect with them, does that mean I don't discipline them, or I don't, you know, call them out on disrespect? And that's absolutely not the case. Mm-hmm. It's critical that our children have healthy boundaries, especially a child who has a trauma history. Healthy boundaries are a must. Discipline's a must. Even correction is a must. It just looks different for families like ours. You can't go in with a traditional mindset the way that we were all raised. I was raised, if I did something wrong or I was disrespectful or I stepped out of line, buddy, I got corrected right there and it hurt. That's the way my parents raised me. That's the way Kristen's parents raised her. It was like, and we learned, we didn't do that again, right? But that traditional mindset does not work with children who have a trauma history. So then how do you do that? And so we walk in the book, we walk through the art of listening first before you react, the art of connection before correction. Whereas instead of immediately defaulting to what is wrong with you or why would you do that, instead pulling back, changing the question and saying, okay, I see that you're upset. I see that you're frustrated. What can I do to help you? And then another principle we talk about in that is allowing for natural consequences, recognizing that you can only control what you can control. But the reality is you cannot control. It's futile to try to control your child. What you need to do instead is hold space for some of their choices and their behaviors to play out, right? It's not that you hope or you wish for natural consequences to happen, but you have to hold space and recognize that that could be the case. And then your role shifts to supporter, to encourager. So that's one of the questions we talk about. I really love behavior management, talking about behavior management and understanding, because it really is that it's management. it's not behavior modification. When you're talking about children who have a trauma history, it's not about fixing your child, because that's really that can be futile too. It is about managing, implementing strategies to manage behaviors. And we have a whole section in the book that walks through that.
Oh, that is excellent. And I can appreciate that too, because we took, we had 3 biological children, and then our daughter came. And I'll apologize to our listeners if you're hearing any kind of crashing and banging or barking. I'm working from home today because it's a snow day. So kids and pets are definitely having an impact on my work.
We understand that.
We understand.
Yeah. So, but I was saying that back in 1999, we welcomed into our home a relative, a little girl who was 8 years old, and we had no understanding of trauma, or, you know, that TBRI stuff wasn't even invented yet, I don't think. And, you know, we just parented like her, like we parented our other kids, and it never worked. And I didn't even realize this until many years later, when I actually was in a workshop with Dr. Karen Purvis. She said something about, do you find yourself telling your kid, what were you thinking? Why would you do that? And I'm like, oh my word, that's all right. I said to this poor girl. And when I issued her consequences, because it was consequence, consequence, consequence all the time, she never learned from consequences that I issued. It was more of those natural consequences. Mm-hmm. I was issuing them, and I like relentlessly in the beginning. It was, you know, then I would just be blamed for what was going wrong in her life that, you know, that moment. It was always my fault because I was always the one issuing consequences. But like you said, when they really are left to experience some natural consequences, then we can come alongside and be a support and build their trust that way, because we're there for them. So
yeah. Yeah.
I love that you're covering that in your book. So what about number 2? What would be one of the other questions that we could talk about?
Oh, you know, I was just kind of scrolling through my mind and thinking, what really hit home for me? I'm going to kind of jump back to the beginning of the book where we talked about, should I foster? Should I adopt? Should I foster to adopt? So those were 3 big questions. And, you know, and Mike and I are pretty just black and white about that, where we didn't sugarcoat anything. Not everybody is meant to be a foster parent. Not everybody is meant to be an adoptive parent. But the question that I kind of want to talk about here was, I'm not called to adopt, but how can I help? And I think that's really, you know, when we're talking about being a community, we need a whole community to raise our children. We need a whole community when we are parenting. Mike and I are not able to be foster parents right now. We have 8 children. We're past the, in Indiana, there's a limit of how many children under a certain age you can have in your house. And so it's not possible for us to do that right at the moment. So this applies to us as well. And that's, you know, what do I do if that's not what I'm supposed to be doing right now? And I think there's really a call then to support other families well. And so in that chapter, we talked a lot about just some ideas that we can use: driving, laundry, meals, respite, play dates, gift cards. So I really like that chapter because I think, you know, it's really reaching out to the rest of the community and saying, you know, this book, these ideas, this lifestyle, it is for everybody, even if you are not the one, providing the home, it's for the whole community to support well.
Yeah, because we're all called to care. It's just, what are we called specifically to do?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's also one of the things that I really want people to know about this book is that when we set out to write this, first of all, a long, long time ago, the very first book that Kristen and I co-wrote, it was a self-published book called The Adoptive Parent Toolbox. And in that book, which you can still find, I think, through Amazon, but I remember writing that book, and it was basically answering a lot of questions that we had when we first began this journey that we felt like we weren't getting answers to. And I remember as we finished that book, I thought, you know what, someday this is going to be bigger than just this book. Like, we're going to expand this and we're going to redo this book. And sure enough, when Harvest House approached us, and asked us to write this book, we jumped at the chance because really what we wanted to do was we wanted to create a handbook, a guidebook that someone could just slide across the table to somebody who's considering adoption, considering foster care, or somebody who, you know, was already on the journey, but just had these lingering questions. So it really kind of encompassed all facets of the journey. But I think what's really unique about this book is that like 90% of the content in this book, the questions in this book came from our audience. We actually asked our audience, what are some of the biggest questions you have that you feel like you don't have an answer for? And we received those questions back. We received like 600 questions that we had, that our team had to weed through and choose 101, right? Now we had some ourselves, of course, amongst our team, but we spent months researching and mulling over and writing and rewriting answers because we wanted to be on target. But here's another unique thing. The end of the book, towards the end of the book, we actually have adoptees answer several questions because we believe that there is no greater source of education for us as parents than adoptees or people who have gone through the foster care system personally. They've been in the foster care system. We have so much to learn from them. And so I really think that that's unique, you know, out of the entire book. That's a really unique way that the book came about.
Yeah, I love that. Often on my podcast, I interview adult adoptees, foster care alum, and that's one of the questions I often ask them is, you know, what would you say to potential foster or adoptive parents or even current foster adoptive parents? What would you want them to know? And I always love their answers. And that's key because that's, you know, really that's who we want to serve well and with excellence are the kids. And we want to do right by them. So I love that. So discipline, and then should I foster or adopt? How about another one?
Well, one of my, I have lots of favorite parts in this book, but, this is something I think Kristen, I want to kind of set this up and then have her talk about it. So I'm going to put her on the spot because I think this is really valuable. We have a whole section on trauma and it's what we call trauma knowledge. I mentioned earlier, we have a whole entire online course that we're opening up for enrollment this coming May. Wow. Called Trauma Knowledge Masterclass. And the reason why we use that phrase trauma knowledge is because we recognize that when you become knowledgeable about something, you receive the tools you need to either change what you need to change or do better at whatever it is you're doing. So translate that to parenting. When we're parenting children with a trauma history, we have so many clients and readers and audience members who say, I just don't understand why they behave the way they behave. I don't understand why they always push me away. And so we spent years really honing in on this idea that it's one thing to be trauma informed, which is a really common phrase that we all know in the foster adoptive community. But sometimes just being informed on something doesn't give you a working knowledge of it. So the section of this book that's all about trauma is all about helping parents gain knowledge into their child's trauma history and why they behave, how trauma histories dictate present behaviors and how behaviors are a window into the past. So I kind of went a little bit longer than I thought than I was hoping to, but I wanted to set Kristen up to talk about it because I love her approach when it comes to this topic.
I don't know what you want me to talk about here.
I mean, oh man.
Well, we could talk about trauma all day long. But I'm not sure that you set me up for the right question.
I'm sorry
like,
about that.
Madly leafing through our book right now. Like, well, I don't even know where you are. I'm sorry.
I think I may have already covered it when I told you I was going to set you up. And I'm like, wait, I just keep talking and talking and talking.
Did.
I'm so sorry about that.
There are a lot of chapters just on how we, how knowing and understanding what trauma does to the brain, how trauma changes the way our bodies work, and how traumas change our behavior, that our understanding as parents, when we can see our children through that lens, through that shifted perspective, we can then address the trauma, not the behavior. So it was like you were saying about, you know, why are you doing this? What are you thinking? And we still find ourselves saying those phrases too. But the more that we understand about how trauma changes the brain, right, the more we begin to address it differently. We might start with, what were you thinking? And then all of a sudden we think, oh my gosh, I remember now. Of course you took 5 sandwiches and stuffed them all in your pocket. You were hungry when you were a baby. I knew that. I'm sorry. What can we do to help you feel safe about food? So a lot of our chapters are addressing those smaller subjects. Each question is only, our answer is only around 700 to 1,000 words. So we tried to keep it brief. So if it's food hoarding, we talk about where does food hoarding come from? And then what can we do next? And what are some questions we can ask ourselves as parents? And how can we help our child to take their power back around, you know, something like food insecurity?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this book is honestly adoption answers to 101 questions about adoption and foster care, invaluable resource to foster and adoptive parents, potential foster and adoptive parents. And you have so many excellent resources. Where can our listeners find your books?
Well, you can find Honestly Adoption by visiting honestlyadoptionbook.com. And then in terms of Kristen's new book, keepthedoorsbook.com is where you find that book. You can order that book. And then we've got links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, christianbook.com, Books A Million. All those are on there that they can order through their favorite website or their favorite retailer. And here's the important thing to know with both Honestly Adoption and Keep the Doors Open. We give away bonus video series when you purchase each book. Actually, with all of our books, we do that. With my book, Winning the Heart of Your Child, Confessions of an Adoptive Parent, and then of course these two books. When you order that, there's directions on those websites, on each book website, that if you take your receipt from whichever retailer you purchased, enter it in following the steps that we put on there, submit it, you get access to free video series. I think there's a 3-part video series, 4-part video series, completely free just for purchasing the book.
Oh, that is awesome. Now and your books are also available on your website, correct? Mm-hmm. And then, so our listeners should know, you can go to confessionsofanadoptiveparent.com. There they'll find your blog. Mm-hmm. All of your books, they can go right listen to your Honestly Adoption podcast, which I'm sure is also available on every major podcast platform as well.
Yes.
All of your other information, the Oasis community that you talked about, your the training that you're offering, the trauma knowledge masterclass, all of that can be found at confessionsofanadoptiveparent.com. Definitely worth checking out all of their resources. I love that. In addition to your books, like we said, you have the podcast. I love all of the contents, very focused on foster and adoptive parents. Amazing stuff. Any other information you want to throw out about your resources?
No, I think you covered it really well.
You did a great job.
To take you on the road. You need to go on the road with us and be like our publicist for that, man, for our resources. Well, that was perfect.
Bet on your website. Love it.
Yeah.
You. Listen to your podcast. Love that. And just know, you know, I can, like I said, as an adoptive parent, I can appreciate the resources that you offer because they're invaluable to parents. And we always like our listeners to know where they can find those kinds of resources. So as we wrap up, Mike and Kristen, any last thoughts that you want to share with our listeners? You can both, kind of close us out with anything that you want to say.
Well, I'll start. It's hard when we're not in the same room together. We're like, I think it's your turn. I think it's my turn. You know, I would just say to your listeners, you're not alone in this. And you can do this. Surround yourself with community and support. Don't be afraid to accept help. don't be afraid to say, I don't know what I'm doing right now, and I'm just doing my best. Don't be afraid to tell your children that. Don't be afraid to say, I want to support you well, and I'm doing my best to learn to be a good parent for you. But you're not alone.
Excellent. Yeah, that's actually exactly, I was thinking the same. I was actually thinking that when you were asking that question, that very phrase, you are not alone. So even though we're not in the same room, we think the same. That's
amazing.
That's yep. And there is hope too. There's hope, yeah. Hope for your child, hope for you. Your child's trauma history does not determine their future. They have hope and they have a future. Believe that and know that.
Amen. Amen. So Mike, Kristen, thank you so much for all that you are doing to provide support to foster and adoptive parents, especially those of us in the trenches. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We enjoyed it.
Oh, I had a blast. And if you enjoyed today's show, you can find and follow more episodes of on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those great podcast platforms. Just search for our show by name, Orphans No More. You can also find it on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Stay tuned for my book. I haven't written as many books as Mike and Kristen, but hey, you never know, one day. My book is called Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father, and it will be available mid to late 2020. Stay tuned for the details on that. And remember our 2020 vision campaign. You can help us launch Care Portal in our next Capital Region County with a $20 monthly gift. Just go to justicefororphansny.org and click donate to give online. Until next time, this is Sandra Flack.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.